First John chapter 1, verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, forgive us of our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for loving us. We thank you for the fellowship we can have with you. Father, we thank you for each one that's here tonight and taking time out of a busy week to come out on a hot sunny night. We just thank you for the sun. We thank you for the rain we got last night. Lord, we need more, and we ask that you might give us more for the farmers. We just pray now that you'd be at the service tonight. Pray that you'd speak to hearts, Holy Spirit, to use me and the words that we speak. Lord, we'll give you all the praise and the honor for it. And Father, we know there's some probably hurting tonight that we don't know anything about here. Some special needs that they have that no one maybe knows about but them and you. Lord, we pray a special blessing upon them tonight that they might feel close to you and you might answer their prayers and meet their needs now as you promised to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A young boy had just gotten his driving permit. Some of us been there, haven't we? Our kids got our driving permit. We thought that was a great day. They thought it was a great day. Anyway, this young boy asked his father, who was a minister, if they could discuss the use of the car now that he had his driving permit. His father took him into his study and he said to him, "I'll make a deal with you." He said, "You bring your grades up, you study your Bible a little, and get your hair cut, and then we'll talk about it." After about a month, the boy came back to his dad and again asked if they could discuss the use of the car. And they again went into the father's study, where his father said, "Son, I've been real proud of you." He said, "You brought your grades up, you've studied your Bible diligently, and you didn't get, but you didn't get your hair cut." The young man waited a little moment, and he said, "You know, Dad, I've been thinking about that." He said, "Samson had long hair, and Moses had long hair, and Noah had long hair," to which the father replied, "Yes, and they walked everywhere they went." So that took care of that. I want to speak to you tonight. What can a Christian lose? You know, we can't lose our salvation, but there's some things we can lose. And I want us to look at those things tonight. A Christian, we know we're saved, if we're really saved. If you're here tonight and you're really born again, there's been a time and a place where you asked Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins, and you've trusted him as your Savior. You can't lose that. It's forever. He gives us everlasting life, eternal life. And so we thank him for that. Now, you're not saved because you do good, so you're not lost because you do bad. You're not saved because you join the church, so you're not lost because you quit church maybe sometime in a backslidden condition. And you're not saved because you take communion, so when you're not lost when you don't take communion. You're not saved because you've improved in some area of your life, so you're not lost because you get worse. You're saved because you're born again into the family of God as a child. You cannot undo the birth process, the same as you're born into your family and when you're born as a baby. So you can undo that process in your family or the family of God. I was born 77 years ago. I was not a bad kid most of the time. I wanted to please my parents. I didn't like to be scolded. I never remember being spanked, but on the wall of our kitchen We had a big blackboard, about 8 feet long, and it was about, I don't know, 3.5, 4 feet high. They'd got out of an old schoolhouse out in the country and put on the one. We had a great big old farmhouse, and the kitchen was big. So on the one wall right by our stove was this big old blackboard. And on that blackboard hung a razor strap. Do you know what they used razor straps for back in those days? The blackboard we could play all kinds of games on. We played hangman and all the different things and used it for schoolwork and stuff. But on the wall over that blackboard was a nail, and on that nail hung a razor strap about 3 feet long. I never saw my dad use it, but I saw it hang there all the years I was growing up. It never left. I remember one time I sassed my mom, and she slapped my face for talking back to her. I never did that again. But when I sassed Mom, I spoiled the fellowship with her. And I didn't lose my relationship. I was still her son. And I knew she loved me. And I could have lost fellowship if I had disobeyed her again. I was always her son. I soon found out that life was a lot more pleasant and a lot more happy, as many of you have and some of your kids have, when you obey your parents. And things are always more fun. And same thing when we obey God's commandments. It's a lot more fun. And it's a lot better life. And God blesses. I was saved when I was 10 years old, when I trusted Christ to forgive me of all my sins. Born again. I never doubted the fact that I was his son. God is not an Indian giver. And he doesn't give it to us and take it back. And he gives us eternal life. When we're unfaithful or backslidden, he doesn't take it back if we're really saved. John 3:16, and all of you know it, but for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting's everlasting. It's forever and forever. And so the Lord chose to talk about our relationship. We read about it here in 1 John, and in terms of a relationship that cannot be broken. For example, he said we're God's children when we get saved. If we were God's friends, the relationship could be broken. If we were God's partners, the relationship could be broken, but the Bible says we're his children. And if you're someone's child, and you are, of course, you're the child, their child, period. I mean, there's no getting around it. You can't change that. And not only that, but he calls himself our older brother. I had 3 sisters and 2 brothers. I believe they're all in heaven. According to their testimony, we were a close family. Until my mom passed away. She passed away 52 years ago this November. And my dad remarried, and some of the kids couldn't accept that. And then when my dad passed away in 1983, some of them were not happy when dad gave the farm to my brother. And then it passed on to his son when he passed away. And that didn't set well with 2 of my sisters, one of my brothers. They wouldn't even speak to my brother that got the farm. I always felt that dad paid for it. He could do what he wanted to do with it. I didn't stay home and help him farm. My brother stayed home and helped him farm. And his boy grew up and helped farm. And but it got so bad that if they met in a grocery store in town, they'd go down a different aisle. They wouldn't even go down the same aisle. And when he was in the hospital several times, finally passed away, I think it was 1995, they didn't go to see him. 2 of my sisters didn't, and 1 of my brothers didn't. Never even talked to him. I was the last one to talk to him. He was going to go home the next day, and his wife had gone home back to the farm, and he took a turn for the worse and passed away in the night. But I think about this so often, because I think about what a shame. We were a close family. I mean, we got together a lot of the time, and Mom always cooked a big meal. Of course, she was not well last. She died in 1959. And so she didn't, the last few years, she had cancer so bad that she didn't do a lot. But before that, we had big dinners, and we'd get together and fellowship together. And especially my sisters and I were real close. My one brother was older, and he'd been in the Second World War. And my other brother was older. I was the youngest of 6 kids, and they've all passed away now, except me. At least leaves me all alone, and so that's a that's a a strange feeling. Some of you have been there. But you don't have someone to call that you can share with anything you grew up. You know, you grew up and you did things together and you had family things together. I have nobody like that anymore. Some of you are probably in the same boat. But it was a hard realization when my last sister passed away. And we were close. We talked almost every week and sometimes a couple of times a week. But I thought of the fellowship of our family was broken. They were still brothers and sisters. They were still dad's kids and mom's kids. And we were all kids of the family. But they couldn't do anything to break the relationship, but they sure did break the fellowship. And that's what happens when we disobey God, when we get crossways with Him, and when we stumble and fall and backslide in our life, and we're not as close as we ought to be or as close as we used to be. Then that's what happens. We break our fellowship with God. And someone said this, and I don't even know who it was, but it says when you get saved, someone said you get saved and you wonder what really happened, and you'll wonder about it as long as you live. And you know that's true, isn't it? You know, do you understand salvation completely? I don't understand how God can come into our heart and live in our heart, and how the prayers, you know, He can hear everybody's prayers all at the same time. He's omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent. And I don't understand all of that, but it's true because the Bible says it is. And He hears your prayers, and He hears my prayers. He knows my problems, He knows your problems. He knows your weaknesses and mine, knows our faults. And then what did happen when you got saved? By nature, you were a son of Adam. You had an old nature that was bent towards sin. One day, Jesus came into your life and made you a new creature. Gave you a new nature. But here's the danger. He didn't take away the old nature, did He? He gave you a new nature. So now you got an old nature and a new nature that wants to fight and wants the preeminence. And the old man still wants to cuss. That wants to cuss still runs around with you, you know. I've never had that problem of swearing or using curse words. And I've never had that problem. I've never smoked. I've never tasted any kind of alcohol. So I've not had that. But some folks get saved out of a life of like that. And that old nature still stays there. And the one you're going to feed the most is going to be the one that wins out. You know that? And you need to take this word and use it. And that's how you feed the new nature. That's how you grow as a Christian. That's how you live for God. That's how you know what's right to do and what's not right to do. And so the old nature's going to win out if you give in to the old, go back to the old movies or go back to the old habits of drinking or smoking or whatever it might be. You can't kill the old man, but you can starve him and make him skinny, someone said. You have two natures. You didn't exchange one nature for another one. You gained a new nature. And so you still have that old nature. And that's why Christians lose their tempers, go into sin, get mad, use bad words, talk like they had not to sometimes, and gossip and covet. And that's kind of the old nature. 1 John 3:9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, but your old nature was not born of God, it was born of the flesh. And this is this that you see, and as we see, was born of a mother and a dad. Not God, it's flesh, and there's the tendency to sin. Someone wrote this, said, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it for thy courts above. The new man and the old man are constantly in warfare with each other. The one you feed the most is going to win out. When you get saved, if you still listen to those old stories at work, the old music on the radio or on the TV, run around with the old sinful crowd that you got saved out of, and the old man was going to win out. And you're going to lose fellowship with God. And it's going to hinder your Christian life. If when you get saved, you need to give up those old things. But when you get saved, if you listen to good Christian music, you need to. When you take something away, you've heard pastors say this, I'm sure, when you take something away, you got to put something in its place, don't you? If you take some old music and get rid of some old music, you need to get some good music. And if you got some bad magazines and some bad literature that you've been used to reading, and that was part of your life before you got saved, you need to get rid of that and get some good literature. Read the Bible. And read some, that's the best thing to read. There are some good Christian books and good Christian authors, but you need to read and replace it. And you need to memorize some Bible verses. You need to get some new Christian friends. You need to monitor the TV programs. And you need to get involved and stay faithful to a good Bible-believing King James Bible Church. Amen. Then the new man will win the battle. And that's the secret to winning the battle. Some wrote a little Christian song that goes something like this. We used to sing it. The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. The things I used to read, I don't read them anymore. The places I used to go, don't go there anymore. The things I used to sing, don't sing them anymore. Things I used to say, don't say them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And there ought to be a great change when you get born again. And you can't lose your salvation because the new man is there to stay. But there are some things you can lose. And I want to call your attention just a few of them. I'm sure there's some more that I could talk about tonight, but the first one is the fellowship with God, and that's the most important one. When you lose your fellowship with God, you start to go backwards, and you'll backslide, because when you break that fellowship, whether it's through prayer, through reading the Word of God, through fellowship with friends, or coming to church to hear the preaching or teaching and Bible study on Wednesday night, if you get those things and start slipping out of those things, you're going to lose your fellowship with God, and it's going to hurt your Christian life. It'll hurt your family, too. Nothing can take the place of your personal fellowship with God. And the biggest single thing, the fueling station, is getting alone with God. And if you miss that, you'll miss everything. Everything you lose as a Christian, you first lose, I believe, by breaking fellowship with God. When you lose your fellowship, you go into sin. When you lose your fellowship, you lose your power. When you quit tithing because you lost your fellowship, you stay out of church because you lost your fellowship first. And you start missing church sometimes and think, well, it's not. I don't have to go this time. I don't need to be there. And if you're well enough and can be there, you need to be faithful to church. It's tremendously important that a child of God keep his fellowship with him. And that's where you should have your priorities. And we need to get our priorities right in our Christian life. And, of course, reading the Bible and praying, and that ought to be first priority in our life, and then being faithful to the church service. This is the foundation, I believe, for everything else. When you break that line of communication with God, look out, because you're about to lose other things. And after a while, you won't want to spend time with God or read your Bible. After a while, you won't want to go soul winning, or after a while, you will find other things to do than be faithful to church. Boy, it's easy. I've seen over the years folks that were red hot for God, got saved and grew and got faithful, and then all once they slid back a little bit and missed a few services, and you see it in their family, go back with some of their old friends, and boy, I could make a list of the people I've known that done that over the years, and it breaks your heart, because you know they're not only miserable themselves, they've made other folks miserable. And they've missed God's blessing. They've not only lost the fellowship, but they've missed all God's blessing during that time. And so you need to keep that fellowship sweet. One day when you fail to walk with God, you may stumble and get into trouble. One day when you don't fellowship with him, you may lose other things. You won't lose your salvation, but you may lose everything precious and dear. Let me say this. Every day of your life, take some time to walk with God. Songwriter said, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor as a shield today? Oh, how praying rests the weary. Prayer will change the night today. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Second thing I believe a Christian can lose is his power with God. And they all kind of go together, but this is the second thing. Samson was grinding at the mill. He was a strong fellow, but he was blinded and was grinding at the mill. He was one of the strongest men in Israel, and he was the same Samson who had tied foxtails together and burned the barley fields down. It's the same Samson upon whom the Spirit of God came upon, and God used. What's wrong with him? He lost his power Why? Because he lost his fellowship with God and got his eyes off of God and on other things, and wanted to marry the wrong kind of woman, and lost his power. David, who killed Goliath, same fellow who killed a bear with his bare hands, same David who killed a lion with his hands, is this same one who with a slingshot filled the big old giant. The sweet psalmist of Israel, what happened? He lost his power. He was loafing and looking and lusting, wasn't he? Looked out the window when he should have been someplace else. And lost his power because he broke his fellowship with God. Peter is on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus. He preached and had 3,000 souls saved at Pentecost. He was the same fellow who cursed and denied the Lord. He said, I don't know this man. And he denied knowing Jesus. Matthew 26:72. What happened? He lost his power because he lost his fellowship. He turned his back on the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses, who crossed the Red Sea, was one of the greatest people in the Bible. He smote the Red Sea with his rod. You remember the story, and the great army of the Israelites went across on dry ground. He was the meekest man probably who ever lived, but all of a sudden he got mad and lost his temper. He smote the rock twice. Wasn't supposed to do that. And God said, you just lost your ticket to the promised land, Moses. And he let him go up on the mount to see it, but he couldn't go in to enter the land because of sin, because he lost his power. And he never set his feet in the land of the promise, the land that flowed with milk and honey, because he lost his power. If Samson could lose his power, if Moses could lose his power, if David could lose his power and back get his eyes off of the Lord, listen, so can you and I. And we have to be on guard. You can't let up a minute, because it'll happen. It can happen to any one of us. And if it can happen to these great men, it can happen to anyone here. Don't lose the power of God. How can you keep from losing it? Just don't lose the fellowship. Stay close. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then everything will go all right this way, won't it? If you got it right this way. I said the other night when I preached too, and we heard the evangelist say that too, but don't lose your power. How can you keep from losing it? Keep your fellowship. Walk with God. Stay close to him. Read your Bible daily. Pray daily without ceasing. Sing the right songs. Have the right friends. Do you know if the wrong friends have led many kids down the wrong path? But you know what? We look at the kids and say that, but you know, wrong friends have led a lot of adults down the wrong path. Fellas at work, or ladies at work, many times, go out for coffee or go out for, they say, for a drink or something. Be careful. It'll lead to loss of fellowship. It'll wreck your Christian life if you're not careful. And so you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your power. Third thing, I believe, you can lose your joy. I saw this in my family. We used to be a happy family. My mom would hate the day that the kids turned against each other and wouldn't speak to each other. And they lost their joy. Oh, we'd go down, and I was not mad at any of them. I tried to make them get over it and see that it was wrong. And I made a cassette tape one time. We lived in Berlin, Wisconsin, after this all happened. And I made a cassette tape and told them what I thought and how I felt, and sent the same tape to all five of them. Never did hear from any of them. But at least they knew how I felt. They knew I knew what was right. But they lost their joy, and we'd go down to the farm and to see them, and there'd always be some, you know, they'd be, poor dad passed away, while my sister would be upset, and she'd say things, one of them, and then another one would say something, and it was always on the defensive, and it was just, they were just lost their joy. They lost their fellowship. And I believe they were saved, but they sure did lose their joy. And when most people first get saved, they want to tell everybody about their salvation experience. When you first get saved, there's a sweet joy and a happiness that you never had before. And the sun shines brighter and everything's all right. And no Christian can keep his joy once he breaks his fellowship with God until he confesses the sin and gets the sin right. And God forgives. He says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we need to keep that. Dr. Rice used to say, keep that list short. And keep the list short. And the happiest person I believe in the world is a Christian who's right with God and has sweet fellowship with him. Someone said the second happiest person in the world is the unsaved person, because he doesn't know he's doing wrong. He's happy doing what he's doing. The most unhappy person in the world, I believe, is a Christian that's backslidden, because they know they're backslidden. They know that the Holy Spirit, when we get saved, you know, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells in our heart and in our life, and is with us, never leaves us. He says, "I'll never forsake you, or leave you, or forsake you." And so we know we got the Holy Spirit. And so that Christian that's so unhappy and is out of fellowship, and he's a Christian out in the world, and has nothing to do with the world. He has nothing in common with the world. And he goes back to the things he used to do before he was saved, and then under conviction. The saved person has Christ all the time. He's happy in the Lord, walks with him, fellowship is sweet. Every day is a holy day. It's a good day. And that's the happiest person. And listen, if you're living for God today, if you're saved and living for him, and you're reading your Bible, and you're right in fellowship with him, and your sin's confessed, and you're on top with God, you're a happy person, aren't you? You know, things can go wrong, and you can have illness, and you can have sickness, and you can have deaths, and you can have things go wrong. But listen, if you're right with God, and God will meet those needs. My favorite verse is Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. And you know what? He will. But he expects us to acknowledge him in all our everything, doesn't he? And that's where we sometimes fall short. We want to give him what we want to give him, but we want to keep some of that for ourselves. And when we just give him part of our heart, he wants all of our heart, not just part. He wants it all. So how do you keep from losing it? Don't lose your fellowship. Walk with God. He'll give you power. Psalm 126, we read, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." And I'm simply saying that one day David lost his fellowship with God. He wasn't fighting like he should have been. He looked out the window and saw a sight he shouldn't have seen, and he yielded to that sin. Lost his power and joy at that time. If you read Psalm 51, he said, "Oh God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He didn't say, "Restore unto me my salvation." He said, "The joy of thy salvation." And then he said in Psalm 51, he also said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God." This is your heart clean tonight? Has he got your heart? I hope he has. And he wants it. But there's something else I think we can lose. We can lose the blessings, and we can lose the rewards that he's promised to us. And when you lose your fellowship with God, you lose your power, you lose your fellowship, and then you lose the daily blessings. You know what? If you're right with God, God blesses you every day. You know, he blessed you today just with life. He blessed us today with sunshine. It got hot, but you know, that's better than shoveling snow. And he blessed us yesterday with a little bit of rain. It wasn't, I'm sure, not enough for the farmers, but it's better than none. And so God gives us blessings. He blesses us with our children. That's the greatest blessing he gives us. And that's the only thing you can take to heaven with you is your children. Do you know that? And the ones you win to the Lord. And so, but you lose your fellowship, then you lose your blessings and your answers to prayer, because there's sin in your life if you've lost fellowship. And you need to get that sin confessed and get it confessed in a hurry. I trust tonight you know you're saved. I want to share a story as I finish tonight. I wonder, though, as I ask you tonight, are you sure you're saved? This is a salvation story, and it's neat. Bob Jones Sr. wrote the story. Says it's the most interesting story I ever heard. I don't know if any of you have ever read that, but it's neat. He says, "The most interesting story I ever heard was told me years ago by a man over 80 years of age. We were sitting together on a projecting rock of a mountainside in Arkansas." Dr. Bob Jones says, "Here's the story. I was down in this country during the Civil War. Across on the other side yonder, there were hundreds of tents where our soldiers were encamped. Measles broke out, and many of our brave lads died. The epidemic got so bad we stretched some tents farther down the valley and moved all the measles patients into the tents. This, of course, was done to protect as far as possible the health of the well soldiers. I was ward master in charge of the tents where the measles patients were located. The one telling the story to Bob Jones Sr. says, "One night while I was on the ward, I passed a bunk where there was a very sick soldier, not more than 17 years of age. The boy looked at me with a pathetic expression and said, 'Ward master, I believe I'm going to die.' He said, 'I'm not a Christian. My mother isn't a Christian. My father isn't a Christian. I never had any Christian training. I never did attend church. I did go with a boyfriend to Sunday school just once. A woman taught the Sunday school class. She seemed to be a good woman. She read a something out of the Bible about a man. I think his name was Nicodemus. Anyway, it was about a man who went to see Jesus one night. And Jesus told this man he must be born again. The teacher said all people must be born again in order to go to heaven when they die. I've never been born again, and I don't want to die like this. Won't you please get a chaplain so he can tell me how to get born again?' The old man hesitated for a moment. You know, in those days, I was an agnostic. At least that's what I called myself. As a matter of fact, he said, I wasn't anything but an old sinner. So I told the boy, 'You don't need a chaplain. Just be quiet. Don't worry. You'll be all right.' I went on around the ward, and about an hour I came back to the boy's bed. He looked at me out of such sad, staring eyes, and he said, 'Ward master, if you won't get me the chaplain, please get me the doctor. I'm choking to death.' 'All right, son,' he said, 'I'll get you the doctor.' So I went off and found the doctor, and he came and mopped out the throat of the lad so he could breathe just a little easier. I knew the boy was going to die. I had seen many other cases just like his, and the boy was so sweet, and he literally climbed into my heart, and he thanked me for my kindness, and he thanked the doctor for being so good to him. And the doctor and I went away from the bed, and in about an hour I came back expecting to find the boy dead, but he was still struggling. He looked up out of his eyes of death and said, 'There's no use, ward master. I've got to die, and I haven't been born again. Whether you believe it or not, won't you find the chaplain and let him tell me how to be born again?' I looked at him for a moment and thought about how helpless he was in the grip of death. So I said, 'All right, son, I'll get you the chaplain.' I walked away a few spaces and then turned and went back to the boy's bedside. I said, 'My boy, I'm not going to get you the chaplain. I'm going to tell you what to do myself. Now understand, I was an agnostic. I don't know whether there's any God. I didn't know whether there's a heaven. I don't know whether there's any hell.' And he said, 'I don't know anything.' 'Yes, I do,' he said. 'I know one thing. I know my mother was a good woman. And if I know there's a God, my mother knew him. If there's a heaven, I know she's there. So I'll tell you what my mother told me. You can try it, see if it works. Now I'm going to teach you a verse of scripture. The verse was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My mother said, can't save myself, but if I believe in Jesus, he'll save me. I asked the boy to say the verse with me, and I started, and he followed with a weak and trembling voice, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He repeated that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, and he repeated that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, my boy, my mother said, if a person will trust Jesus, he will not perish, but have everlasting life. I referred the lad to another verse my mother taught me, but he closed his eyes, stretched his hands across his breast, and in a whisper he quoted slowly, repeating some of the words several times, for God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him. And then he stopped and he said with a clear voice, praise God, ward master, it works. He said, I believe in him. I shall not perish. I have everlasting life. I've been born again. Ward master, your mother was right. Why don't you try it? Do what your mother said. It works, ward master. This thing works. Ward master, before I go, I want to ask you to do something for me. Take a kiss to my mom, tell her what you told me, and tell her that her dying son said, it works. I leaned over and kissed him on the mouth, and then as he drew his last breath, he said, it works. The old man, wiping tears out of his eyes and tears out of the wrinkles of his face, said, the lad was right. It does work. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It works. I know it works. Listen, if you're here tonight and don't know for sure you've ever been born again, you need to get it settled tonight. And then you'll know what I was talking about, what you can lose as a Christian. But if you are saved tonight, keep that fellowship of God close and sweet and clear, so he can bless you, so he can use you, and so you can receive his blessings. Let's stand with our heads bowed. I wonder tonight, have you lost your power? Have you lost your fellowship? Have you lost your joy? There's plenty of it for everybody to go around. If you've never been saved, get it settled tonight before you leave this place. Father, we thank you for loving us tonight. Thank you for this church. Thank you for these folks that are here. Thank you for the Holy Spirit and the power he gives us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus that died in our place. Thank you, Lord, that we can love you. And Lord, we need to love you more than we do. We don't understand your love so great that you went to the cross and died for us. We didn't deserve it. Now, for someone here tonight that has the message might have spoke to their heart, Lord, help them to get some things settled in their life, get the fellowship restored, maybe get saved, whatever the decision might need. We trust it all up to you tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.